Let's welcome everybody in to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show Christmas edition. Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6 Eastern. We are glad you're along for the sleigh ride.
Oh, nice. It's our last show before we take off for the holidays.
And it's a different show because Sammy's giving me no lineup.
Nope.
I really have no idea who's coming on the show because Sammy, for the next 2 hours,
yes,
has built in guests throughout our show that will go off like a tea time every 7 minutes.
No, more like 15, 10, 15.
Okay,
minutes.
All right.
It's like at Rosedale where there's not a bench. There's a little more time in between. There is at old Tam O'Shanter.
Just a vague tea time. Show up. We'll get you out.
We've got some Christmas hats on, but you guys went one step further with a Christmas t-shirt. You're wearing Scarborough green.
Yeah.
Repping Scarborough Golf and Country Club.
Yeah, I went.
I couldn't lower myself to a Christmas sweater.
You couldn't, eh? But no. The hat's fine.
No.
I don't know what's going on our screen there. It looks like we got a star wipe going on.
It's like a 1980s music
My
video.
Golf course closed today, finally.
Rosedale just closed?
Just closed today.
Damn.
Yes. That's a good run. A historic run.
Yeah. It's the world's on fire. It was like 13 degrees last week or something.
Second week of April to December 21st. That's really impressive. A really good Canadian run for golf.
It's unbelievable. I saw some sort of like long-term winter forecast here, and it's like, yeah, it's supposed to be cold early January, then a big thaw late in January. And it's like, isn't that, then aren't we like almost at spring?
Well,
days are getting longer starting today?
Yeah.
Our first guest is ready and waiting.
No way.
Wow.
God, I look like a skid with this hat. This is a terrible Christmas. This is an awful Santa hat.
We have good hats.
Hey, I got to be honest with you. When I saw that hat, I'm like, Sammy's I ain't wearing that one. We're going to give that one to Sammy.
He's nice. Plush.
I look like an idiot.
It looks like there's like a cat on your head.
It's like Christmas Vacation. The electrocuted cat is still
I was
there.
Told, I also wear my Grinch shirt because it's my only Christmas theme shirt. And I've also been told that I have the body of the Grinch. So.
Skinny fat guy?
Yeah, skinny fat guy. Yeah. Anyways, would you like to welcome in our first guest?
Love to.
Yeah.
Don't know how.
It's you, bud. It's you.
Right.
Wow. Gord Stellick. Stellictricity is in the house on our Christmas show.
Now, Merry Christmas. I don't have a hat. Seeing Sam's hat, I'm kind of glad I don't have a hat. But anyway, great to be on your Christmas show.
So what is going on at the Stellick household as we speak? I envision a lot of baking right now.
A lot of baking, yeah. No, I...
Well, are you doing the baking?
Kids are adults now, 24, 20, so they got their own stuff going on. But we smartly are having people over the 23rd. So that, you know, usually do Christmas Eve, but Saturday the 23rd, a bunch of people over, so a lot of families, so it makes it less complicated. They can do other things on the 24th. And right now, just going to some friends tonight and really enjoying kind of a fun second year in a row after a couple of COVID years, right? That you're able to get out and about and see everybody again.
Christmas Eve, I like it. So how has the holiday season changed for hockey teams since you were a GM of the Leafs? Like now there's a Christmas freeze, there's no transactions. What did it used to look like when you were the GM of the Leafs?
Yeah, you know, Justin, and I mean, Kipper would experience that you just had the 25th and 26th over and off, I mean. So it's like the afternoon of the 24th, the 24th and 25th over. So the 24th, you went to the office. We go out for some beverages. I actually got stopped in a spot check once on the way home. I was a little worried.
Oh,
but anyway, always good. Always good.
I'm sorry, was that last night?
I was putting all my Christmas presents out of the backseat at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, just with the Bayview extension going on the parkway, but all good. And then it was like we'd have a big ball hockey game. And then the 25th was the one day, you know, everything was just settled for about 48 hours. Then Boxing Day, we always had a game. It was close by or it was at home. You go to Detroit or Buffalo. So I like the extra day off for, you know, I gives guys a chance to come home. But I just found like it's a hectic, frantic pace. Every day's the same. You know, there's Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. It's all the same. And then for a couple of days, you get to enjoy stuff with family. And, you know, Justin and Kippy, if you – if you win those last couple of games, it's like, it's funny. Christmas, like if you win three in a row or something, you're in a great, great mood. I remember coming home once after December 23rd and won games in Chicago, St. Louis, and man, everything's going great. But if you lose a few, you know, you're kind of, it's not fun for a couple of days. But I've always liked that we kind of, in this hectic world, get a couple of days to breathe and enjoy family and friends.
We're talking to Gord Stellick, former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. How about the last few days before Christmas? Did you find it as distracting then as perhaps maybe what the Leafs are dealing with going into Buffalo? Buffalo absolutely gets annihilated by Columbus here. And while you think it would be an easy game for the Leafs tonight, Gord, is it a bit of a trap game as well for them?
Yeah, you know, and first of all, the Buffalo game, I remember once, in all honesty, whatever reason, our December 23rd game was in Vancouver, and we took commercial flights home. So I was worried the morning of the 24th, weather is always an issue in Vancouver, and it'd been canceling flights. So we came home, and then someone called and said, can you get Kevin Collins, the linesman? It sold out flights, so we had an extra ticket. We got him home. So as the travel guy back then, that was the most pressure I faced was, would we get everyone home? And why the hell were we in Vancouver on the 23rd? So geography-wise, it makes a lot better sense that you're in Buffalo. I know there's another game on Saturday as well. But, yeah, you know, funny one, Kipper, that it used to be you go to Buffalo, and what would the crowd be? Would you say like 60-40 Buffalo fans, like 40% very vocal Toronto fans? I think tonight it'll be 75% Toronto fans because the Buffalo fans ain't coming. I mean, they're tired. This is the third freaking rebuild they've had. They're, you know, so – it's going to be like a real, like it could be an ugly, ugly night in Buffalo if Toronto gets going. But to your point, it does seem all of a sudden, you know, about letting sleeping dogs lie or something. And that just when you least expect it. And Buffalo, they've always had the Leafs number. Ryan Miller, Dominic Hasek. I mean, they don't have those goaltenders anymore, but that was a big reason why they had the Leafs number for so many years. But yeah, you got to show up and play. Okay. They're a wounded dog. I know. But you got to show up and play, and all of a sudden, this could be the best possible outcome, or it could be an ugly, ugly night. But yeah, you got to show up and play.
Have you seen Buffalo's fans grow dispassionate at all? Like, I know it was it's a great fan base, period, but God, what are we, a decade into this? And it, like, is it, I think attendance isn't great right now. Do you see this really wearing on that group?
Yeah, you know, there was when the Buffalo Sabres joined the NHL, about a third of the fans were from Southern Ontario, but they've always had a strong fan base. And actually, it's funny, I was reminiscing with Bruce Boudreau on our NHL Network radio show about, I remember March 1981, we lost 14-4 in Buffalo.
Oh,
14-4. Bunny the Rock had just
couldn't get the bounces,
night.
Eh?
Yeah, tough night.
Yeah, couldn't. It was only 1-0 in the third period. We held them close in the third period, but they got 9 goals in the second. But Bunny the Rock had come over 9 days earlier at the trade deadline. And I remember the next day I'm listening to Buffalo radio and they played back all 14 calls by Rick Jeanneret.
Oh,
and I was
kind
of smiling in a pathetic way because they were loving it there. But I do like there was a buzz. These are really passionate fans. These are when the NHL Stanley Cup Finals on, generally American ratings are the two cities involved if they're American, and then Buffalo and Philadelphia area as far as being hockey fans. So, And they've been really put through screwed as far as the hockey team goes, that, you know, you can do a rebuild. We did it in Toronto and they're doing it in Chicago. They did it in LA and New York, but then a second rebuild and maybe now a third. So no, they're saying, show me. And they're pretty loyal and they've been tested beyond however they've been tested before. They had, think of how long Lindy Ruff and Darcy Regier were there as the general manager and coach, and they were under the salary cap and they put out a great product there. And it's, I never like to see things get ugly. Okay. I don't, in all honesty. So yeah. I really don't want to see that tonight or any other place. And you know what else nowadays, guys, I don't remember Kippy that they ever would say fire Kippy, fire Justin, fire Stella. Like that just seems to be the newest thing that
check our mentions, pal.
It's just ugly.
You know why they do it, Gord? Is because the fans are now educated enough over the last 15 years plus that they know if we chanted trade this guy, you're not going to do it because there are no trades anymore. You're locked into bad contracts. So this is the easiest way we can hold you guys and some accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So they go after the coach.
So if you have a bad show, are there a chance to fire Sammy? Does that resonate in the studio?
We chant it.
You would
in
be
here.
Very, I mean, just read the comments.
Gordo, look at my hat. I'd fire me.
Sammy.
He has a national TV looking like this.
Sammy in 18 months has gone untouchable now.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right.
All right, we got to let him go because we got to get our next guest soon.
All right.
So, yep. Oh, go. We're going to ask ourselves.
Sammy, what you're wearing today makes you untouchable. That's what I can say. There you go. Gordon. Last minute Christmas gift. Chris Cuthbert said he's hoping he gets it under his tree. So if his son Justin's living, I know he's living, if he's listening,
I'm alive.
And hopefully
Gordon.
Living, Justin. Buy the book for your dad.
Not too late at all to stuff that into a stocking.
It's really
there.
Good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Gordo, thanks, buddy.
Hey, love the show. Appreciate being a part of it. Merry Christmas to you guys and your family. And all the viewers out there.
Merry Christmas, Gordo. Thanks, Gordo. Pal.
So, that's great. The book thing was nice for Gordo there. And we're just waiting on our next guest. I just wanted to bring this up since we have a couple seconds here. You really lit the internet on fire with your Dubas piece today, Kippy.
You did it again.
Holy, people are commenting on that one, bud.
Yeah, listen. I
haven't checked. How are the comments? Are they good?
It's an excellent article.
It's very good.
I just basically said that Kyle Dubas lost an opportunity to kind of bridge or mend a little bit and move on. I wasn't a big fan of him just on the radio silence. And yeah, maybe to his point, it's like, I don't want to pour gasoline on any fire, but I think you could have come out and had a canned statement on how much you're willing to talk about what happened. But just move on off of it. I think it would have been enough.
You know, I a lot of these things, like a lot of relationships, when there's trouble or misunderstandings, or the best thing you can do is just as quickly as possible talk about it. You know, sort through things. It doesn't make it a big deal. The more you let it fester, it just gets worse.
Don't go to bed angry, Justin.
You know, and I agree. Yeah, you give up on that eventually. But the idea of your piece, I did like that. You know, that he didn't do himself any favors. I do wonder if he felt, and this is just me thinking on the spot here, if there was nothing he could have said that he would have won.
See, I disagree. I think there could have been.
Yeah.
And I think, again, for me, it would have been more of, if you really want to show a little humility and say, listen, I'm human. If I could go back, I would have maybe made a few different decisions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. But there's growth in it. There's a learning process, and yes, at times I can get a little emotional, whatever the case is. There's ways of not getting into gory details or he said she said scenarios to show growth moving on. Mm-hmm. And I think they come back in April.
Yeah.
Does he speak to the media then? Does he not? The other thing too is, if I'm the Fenway group and you are going into the biggest hockey market in the world and you are representing us, come on, like, deal with whatever you have to do, but you're also missing an opportunity to promote our club, to tell people about the Pittsburgh Penguins. You are our face. Like, you're missing an opportunity to represent us here. Mm-hmm. So how long do you go without doing that in Toronto? I'd like my president of hockey ops to want to talk into the biggest hockey market in the world at some point.
You know, part of it is probably on his behalf, an FU. Just to the media that maybe he feels misrepresented him or, you know, didn't, whatever it is, to say, I'm not feeding your machine. See you later.
It's small-minded, JB. Yeah. And I'm not disagreeing with the way he can feel.
Yeah.
But that's not the solution.
Not the way a president should handle something.
It's not an adult decision. It's an immature temper tantrum kind of position.
I agree.
It's no good. Yeah. We're all adults in the room here.
The only thing I would argue with your piece out of it. Go ahead. Oh, we got a guy.
We have a guest.
All right.
Yeah. Our next guest.
Oh, yes! PJ Stock. Ladies and gentlemen, PJ Stock.
Look at this sweater. I don't even want to know what
that
else it says.
That is a fantastic sweater.
Thank you. I actually, it's hard to find an adult sweater that doesn't have just Merry Christmas on it or Happy Holidays. So
the bottom says package. Is that right? Because
I have a Christmas package for you. Yeah. Yeah. It's for Kemper. It's for Kemper.
That's nice.
So yeah. What is going on at the Stockyard right now?
Well, we have, this is my favorite time of year. I actually, I should have had this upstairs. I believe it or not, leave a Christmas tree up all year round.
That's just a tree.
It's decorated as it's a Christmas tree. I have one at the cottage as well. The ornament on top, we change and put, people's faces on it and different, but I just, Christmas is, I know the world we live in right now is what terms you can use, but Christmas for me is about happiness. My best memories growing up as a kid and family and friends has always been around this holiday. I love the idea of gifts and everyone getting together and celebrating and drinking and eating too much and everything. And just everyone so happy. And I leave my Christmas lights up because it is, I'm when I'm happy. So at night, there's not a better lighting in your house than when the lights are off besides your Christmas tree or your Christmas lights. Yeah.
And it also helps it also helps you get home when you've had one too many.
Yeah. So luckily I do it in my home, so I don't have to go.
Yeah, you know where you're going. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
So I all the best to everyone there at the station, you guys, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Hanukkah, everything. So.
Yeah, you too, PJ. We really appreciate that. It's thank you. You know, we had same sort of feeling and vibes on the holiday season. Give us your experience as a player. You know, were you able to still feel that festiveness with your NHL clubs? Did you do Christmas parties? What was the experience like in the NHL?
Well, we did. It was funny, Kipper. We almost always had to be back on the 26th in the morning, super early in the morning. So my family, we would celebrate it the night before. So we do instead of doing a Christmas dinner with our family on the 25th, we do it on the 24th. Wake up in the morning, do quick gifts and go. And it's funny as you get older and now that we have kids and Santa and everything and the process of you can't really change the date or move anything when my kids are younger So I go back to those phases and how we had to get around it. But again, we always had like 2 days off. I was lucky. I was always in the Northeast. The teams that I played on, Montreal, Boston, Philly, New York. Worst case scenario was like a 9-hour drive. But I prioritized my family. Came home, saw my parents, my brother, my sister, cousins. And we'd always do fun stuff with the team, which is fun. It's just I love the comfort of being with my family. It was fun, but you... I'll tell you one thing. It was hard to play hockey around that time, which is, you know, you love to think that everyone's heads are always into it and you want it to be into it. But sometimes you're two games away from Christmas and you're so excited for that time that you're kind of, it's awful to say that you're looking past it, but your excitement about those 2 days, two days at home, maybe 3-4 days before you get there, sometime take over some of your brain space. It's just a great time around the year in the league, everywhere, sports, a great time to get home. Now there's, you watch, there used to be, New Year's was the big day to watch college football growing up, right? Mm-hmm. We had the big bowl games. So that was the other big celebration, but now you got stuff on Christmas, you got it all between. It's a great time of year.
As two guys that dabbled in the American Hockey League, Peach, it was always when you were really young that you wanted to be with the big club for other reason to get the NHL gift instead of the American Hockey League mug.
Significant swing there.
Do you remember some good ones?
Oh, my God.
Leafs, we got plane tickets anywhere you wanted to go.
Really?
We got a lot of
airline tickets.
Anywhere you wanted to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got a bunch of travel stuff,
luggage and backpacks.
Luggage and backpacks.
That was a big deal back then when you're making only like 90 grand or 100 grand a year.
Yeah.
I still have my stuff.
Yeah, in 1980, that was okay.
we should have taken the, you know, they're giving you tickets to fly away and me luggage.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have taken it up Seinfeld in my career.
Hey, there's a few players on our team that I'm sure they wanted those one-way tickets.
One-way. Stay in Fiji. We don't need you.
It was a great time.
Did you guys ever do Secret Santa as a team?
I don't think we ever did.
No, you kept?
A couple times we've done it, yeah.
We used to do it in college. It's a disaster, you know.
It is, eh? Like just,
well, you know, it always gets personal with someone, and it's.
Yeah, I can't remember anything too.
We had too much time in college. You guys are actually playing games in the NHL.
The difference also is the American Hockey League too. Like we'd play, you have to play three games in a row, then you have like 4 or 5 days off, then three games in a row, and so we'd have some bigger parties in the American Hockey League where they just be crazy. In the NHL, it's more professional. It's proper, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get Gretz to be chugging beers out of bongs and the beer bongs. Guys are holding the beer bong up.
I don't know, Gretz, those 80s Oilers had some stories, it sounds like.
I guess that's right.
You're in Montreal. How's the mood with the Canadian fans this holiday season?
I always work too hard for when I'm about to come on this show. But I was going through Instagram today.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't really have time to go through to proofread it. Cause I mean, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story, but Michael Therrien, Michel Therrien, after 150 games had 192 points, which is the all time best. They have Marty St. Louis after 150 games only has 132 points. And it's the all-time worst, which is a crazy stat.
Yeah.
Because the mood around the team is way better than it's been in a long time, despite them being so in struggle mode, let's just say, in this rebuilding mode. I think other times the expectations were always there. And now, like I've been telling you guys, I don't have them there. Some of the fans do, and they get really excited about it. I always have to remind them that they were 32nd in the league 2 years ago, you know, and that's why they got the first overall pick. And we talked about Slafkovský. It wasn't a McDavid or a Bedard or a Crosby. It's going to take some time. So my expectations aren't there, but the city gets a little excited time after time. And this is a great example of the worst start, like, team history, and it's kind of, you know, hey, things, they played good last night, it's fun, it's, you know, so, you know, there's actually an article out today that Marty says the team's finally hitting their stride and he feels good about them. It is what it is.
Are fans in Montreal, before we let you go, are fans in Montreal scared to raise their bar after watching Ottawa and Buffalo going into this season with aspirations of maybe making the playoffs or winning a round or two?
Well, no, the problem is I was doing TV the other night and they're talking about, you know, hey, we're 2 points out of the playoffs. And I'm like, that's not the way to be thinking. You don't want get 10 points out of the playoffs. It's great for the players to be in these games where they have meaning and how you have to try and, but at the end of the day, if you're going to lose the right way, but lose, you know, if they add another top 10 pick to this team, as the draft this year is supposed to be a little bit deeper, it's just adding foundations and talents to this team that is, you know, let's be honest, they're in need of some years and some help and some depth, and they don't have much in the American Hockey League, they don't have much on their team. It's a transitional phase that they're in, and it's good. It's a good vibe right now, and it's the city's behind them. But it is amazing if that is true that it's off to the worst start. Marty is amazing at the way he's been able to convince everybody.
Yeah, well, that's important, right? Do we have time? We got to go?
We got to get going here. Sorry.
Okay.
I got to go. I got eggnog.
Got to kick him out of the party.
I didn't have the eggnog. I'm just kidding. Guys, all the best to everyone there. Happy holidays. All the best. And to our listeners, don't be shy to tweet them over the holidays.
PJ Stock.
You too, pal. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye, guys.
That was really good.
So two for two.
Dressed. He was dressed.
Okay, with the Christmas guests.
Yeah.
So far?
Oh,
okay.
God, doing terrific so far.
So I just wanted to ask you guys a couple quick Leaf thing just to sneak it in because we got our next guest after the break. But did you see what Keefe had to say about Samsonov starting tonight?
I did. I don't know if
I don't have the clip. I'll just read it to you.
Yeah, please.
He has to play. we have to get him going here. That's really it.
When asked about him playing, your coach goes, I mean, he's got to play. That's all there is to it. We need to figure this out.
Yeah, he's not very patient right now with Samsonov.
And he also didn't even bother going through the motions of like, we think there's a lot there, and he's ready to, he was just like.
No. He tried that maybe about a month ago.
Yeah.
So at least I think Sheldon's smart enough that he can say to himself, I've played that card already.
You know what this is to me? This is you're handing the guy the rope and you're saying, I'm not going to hang this guy.
Yeah.
But if he wants to do it with his own play, you can take the opportunity and run with it. But if you need the rope, here you go.
I don't think he's, I don't know what you do. So if he goes out tonight and he's terrible, then what?
Man, so, we got to get that hat off your head. I don't know.
My hair probably don't, like, look like a hair looks like now. Look like an idiot without it.
In my article, I do it. In my article that you can find on my X account, my Twitter account at Real Kipper, is also in News and Notes. And I was talking about Matt Murray.
I saw that.
He's our next guest.
I'm going through Kip's article today. I get to this. And the first line of whatever is like, I'm not sure Matt Murray's done this year.
I think you should be writing. That should be, you buried the lead.
That's an article. That's not a footnote.
Boys, he's feeling good. And he's young. And he wants to keep playing.
If he wants to play this year, they're hooped.
Time out.
How could they financially recover from this?
I didn't get that far into the news and notes on he'll get through trade deadline. He'll get to the side where the cap doesn't matter.
But doesn't it matter until the playoffs?
It does matter until the playoffs, right?
Well, I think the field, the team. I mean,
I don't think he'd see a game in the regular season, but I think he'd be in a position where he could start playing for the Marlies. He can take a 2-week stint down there, and he could be available as a third, fourth goalie.
I can see him hoisting the cup with the Oilers now. Like, when they claim him on waivers in April.
I thought you'd like that.
That one jumped
out. I know it said they liked it.
No,
they
I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. I read it, and I was stunned by it. Anyways, we should take a break.
All right, more of Sammy's surprise Christmas
surprise
list
Santa.
On the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Don't go away.
Everything Raptors, before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Christmas edition. Before we take off for the next little while, back in the new year. Is that true?
Oopsies. Well, it is for our show, but you and I are going to do...
We have one Leaf game.
One hockey. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's been it's like, Sammy, you shot us out of a cannon with two amazing guests to start our...
Gordon.
Our party.
I'm just working on... one of our other guests right now. So,
yeah.
But I just, the Matt Murray thing kind of just caught me off guard. And this hat, Jesus.
No, you're.
I haven't thought of, shut up.
Sorry.
Take me seriously, okay?
Grinch body, he's got the toque on, whatever. Anyway, sorry.
He's not 35 and he doesn't want to retire.
Matt Murray was struggling to stay healthy for most of his career. Getting older doesn't tend to help that. Not playing doesn't tend to help your goaltending.
I think by the book, he had his hip surgery, but I don't know what's out there officially, but he may have had two hip surgeries.
Oof.
It's fine.
It's fine. Like Beverly Hills, man. You just go in there and you say you want to take a little off the chin, and the next thing you're working on your nose and your high cheekbones and your calves.
Like you're renoing your house. You got to keep a few walls so you can say it's a reno and not a rebuild. And
so Matt Murray went in there and said, while you're at it, take care of this, this, and this. And by March, he'll start skating again.
Okay, so he's on the Leafs books for 4.687. Were he to hockey again this season? His recent statistics, not great.
No, this is about just putting yourself in a position, I think,
that you could play again the league if someone wants to give you a chance.
And whether or not the Leafs or in any other team want to bring him back next year, I'm sure he would do what all the rest of them have done now, and that's play for, I don't know, $1 million, even if it starts as a PTO and gets yourself he's got some good hockey games under his belt. And well, if he's feeling healthy and pain-free for the first time, there's a very good chance he could resume his career next year.
I mean, he is a 6'4", 29-year-old, two-time Stanley Cup champion.
Mm.
That is the full resume for him, if you want to give him a chance. I think I'm within my rights to stay skeptical that he'll be able to do it, but I think it's great. I don't think, you know, I don't like seeing injury cost anyone's career, so hope that works out.
Tonight, Samsonov will get his chance once again, and you like his chances against a team that's really looking mighty tough right now, the Buffalo Sabres.
So the Sabres last year were third in the NHL in goals for per game. Third. This year they're 25th. So that's been the story of their season. They're the guys who had career breakout years.
Tage got hurt.
Yeah, but he's played 24 games, and in those games he went from 1.2 points per game to 0.6 something. You know, Tuck last year was over a point per game. He's well below. Skinner was a point per game. He's below. Cousins has regressed. They can't score.
I don't predict this often, but I think Leafs win rather big tonight.
I think, they should, but, like, the problem is every time we say that.
I get nervous.
I never say that.
I get nervous against a team that got humiliated the game before. And they will be on their best behavior. Like, their head coach, Granato's, feeling the pressure, and he's not, I don't think he's going to let them get in and be loose off the bat.
It'll
here.
Be Will Ferrell in the dressing room, though. The everyone needs to calm down from old school, that whole bit.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be fired up.
And notoriously, it has always been rather tough for the Leafs for whatever reason. And even if the crowd's 50-50 or 60-40, 70-30 their way, it's always a tough, historically, it's always been tough to go down the QEW and get 2 points.
So it sounds like some of the reason it's so many Leafs fans is not like a lack of desire there so much as it's just a premium to sell those tickets to Leafs fans, right? Like you make your season ticket money back by selling a couple Leafs tickets. And
the other thing, and you're more of a football guy, Sammy, but like are the Sabre fans going, hey, I'm going on the Buffalo Bills side right now. I'm really having a lot of fun with this team.
Bills are in a fight to make the playoffs. So, hey, we got our next guest.
It's looking a lot better, though, now with big wins.
Next guest.
Next guest now on our Christmas edition of The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Oh, he just dropped.
Oh, is it Kevin Kurz?
Oh, you were on a roll, Sammy, and you got a dropped call.
I actually want to say that's the first one all year, and we had it on our final day.
It wasn't a call, though. I had him on screen.
It must be someone older who...
Hey, he's back!
Yeah, older. I was thinking Doug McLean old, though.
Oh, do we have him? Oh, boy.
We have the
no,
visual.
I think he's going without the earbuds.
Oh, sorry, guys. Can we hear him?
Yorkie, can you hear us?
I got you. You guys hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Very nice. Very nice.
Merry Christmas. Welcome to the Christmas show. How are you?
Oh, I'm good for it. You guys are looking merry. You got the Santa hats going. I love it.
Yes.
And like, we got the one that Sam's dog chewed on his head, and we're all good.
I know props after being in the business for 20 years. So how's it shaping up for you and your family this holiday season, Yorkie?
Kipper, I got an easy job, man. All I got to do, well, not that easy. I just got to buy a present for my wife. I'm like you. I got older kids now. So they're just coming home. One's home today. One's home coming home tomorrow from Western. And then, they're just back to see their friends. So as long as I make sure I get my wife a nice present, I'm all good. Everything else is taken care of for me. So it's an easy Christmas for me.
And what about when you were playing in the NHL? We asked PJ his experience. We had him on before you about being an NHL player at Christmas time. What are some of your memories from that time of year that stand out from your time playing in the league?
Exhausted, like just two days off.
What a break.
That's what I remember from the league. You play so much. And then, although I will say, Secret Santa in the NHL, I do miss that.
There we go.
Was my, That was my favorite time of Christmas, Borny. The Jap gifts for the guys on the team, and always some pretty good ones. Some pretty good
anything,
ones.
Anything stand out that you can remember that's arable?
They weren't always appropriate, as I recall.
Do you know who I gave the best gift to, and I put it down as anonymous? Back when I played in Ottawa, I found, hopefully he's not listening because, we're kind of buddies, but I found a little Sesame Street figurine of the Count, and I wrapped it up special for Jacques Martin. I don't know. He probably knows today it was from me, but I always thought, there's a little bit of resemblance there between Jacques and the Count from Sesame Street. So that was one of my better ones. And Timmy Thomas, back when I played in Boston, Timmy, as goalies, we all know this, goalies have unique body shapes, right? You got skinny ones, you got chubby ones. Timmy was a little bit of the chubbier body shape, and he loved his burgers. He loved his burgers. I used to call him the Hamburglar. So I on my way to Secret Santa, because I'd always buy guys a few extra gifts, stopped off at McDonald's on the way to Secret Santa, wrapped up the burger, put it under the tree specially for Timmy, so he got himself a nice burger for
Did
Christmas.
Did he eat it is the question.
Oh, he had it. He loved it. And Kemper, this. You always have the cheap guys on your team, right, too, eh?
Oh, yeah.
So the cheap guy would always get the wallet with the nail hammered through it. A pair of jeans with like really long extra pockets for old Johnny Long Pockets. So now Christmas Santa, I love it. I miss that. So that's my biggest thing I miss about the holidays in the NHL.
So Yorkie, if you were to give that same present to Jacques Martin after blowing a lead and losing to Arizona and going 0-1 in his comeback, what kind of mood would he be in right now if you gave him the same gift?
I think, I think he's pretty good. Like he had a chance to come in and kind of evaluate up top before he jumped on the bench here. So he knows there's some work to do with this team, especially on the basics. Listen, guys, they were practicing line changes yesterday in practice,
wow,
changing on the fly. And I remember doing that when I played for him. So he's taken this school. It's like old Rodney Dangerfield back to school. The guys are going back to school and they're going to, work with the basics. Jacques's a patient guy. He doesn't think this is going to change overnight. So I think, if you're going to give him something for Secret Santa, maybe a little more patience, because that's what it's going to take.
Is the market patient?
Not so much.
Oh, good.
I think, they were crying to get DJ fired for a long time. Like that, this market has gone through a lot. You go back when Eugene Melnyk had Pierre Dorion trading away Mark Stone and Pageau and all the stars they had in Ottawa. And it's just been so long since they've been in the playoffs. So people are impatient, but I think now there's a little more patience. They made the coaching move. They got Alfie on the bench, which the fan base absolutely loves. So, yeah, they're not so patient, but they are. I guess it's a two-sided answer. I think they kind of realize where they are right now, fellas. They're not going to be a playoff team.
Well, and is the intent then with Martin to get them into that mix at all? Or you think this is just like a concession in mid-December, or...?
No. They still have games in hands, and obviously the plan is just look at St. Louis, right? They were in last place going back to when they won their cup. So
going on a run.
Yeah, the plan is to go on a run, but I think first and foremost, the plan is to get this team playing with the magic word more structure, and I think that's plan number one. Get them playing with more structure. Get them playing more on the right side of the puck, and then. Hopefully get back into the playoff race, for sure. They're not giving up on the playoffs, but I think realistically speaking, if you look where they are, it's going to be tough.
Okay, one more before we let you go. Give me a name right now that would suit what this Ottawa roster needs right now for a next head coach. We assume that Jacques just holding the fort here. Craig Berube, Is it Gruden, who's with the Marlies right now? Another young mind that does not have NHL experience. Patrick Waugh. What? Give me a name here.
I love John Gruden, boys. I've known Gruden for a long time. We played together in Ottawa. Is he ready to be a head coach? I don't know, but I'm not a big fan of you keep recycling coaches. I just look at what happened to the New York Islanders when John Gruden was the D coach there. I look at the season Boston had last year when John Gruden was the D coach. I'm a big believer in after your goaltender, your defense, your most important players. I think Gruden is a fantastic D coach. Would he be a great head coach? I think so, because I think defensemen are the smartest guys around.
All right, Yorkie, thanks for doing this, man.
Happy holidays. Thanks, Yorkie.
Great guy.
What a great guy. I saw you saying Berube in your little piece today with the sense.
I hear there's a few guys that want Craig Berube.
In Ottawa. John Gruden seems to have a lot of friends in media, in Ottawa.
Well, I mean, it's a great point. As the, you're the D coach for the Boston Bruins last year.
Yeah.
Doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Indeed. No? The defense is very good, and the head coach is very good too.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not saying I don't know anything about it.
I know there's some issues with putting the puck in the net in Washington, but Carberry coming out of the Leaf bench is looking pretty good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Washington.
It's very uncommon. It's typical for coaches to have their most success in their second stint in the league. If you're a team that's ready to go for it, well, maybe Ottawa's not. I don't know. Close enough.
Yeah.
He had a secret Santa thing going on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hilarious. The count is pretty good.
The count's good. I like the cheap guy stuff.
Yeah.
That's all you gotta get creative. Sometimes.
Just working on our next guest here. Talk amongst yourself, fellas.
Okay. Let's talk about the coaching thing a little bit more. Yorkie saying, he likes this unproven guy. What do you think Ottawa's expectations are? Because I thought this was supposed to be maybe they're in the Leafs category this year type of year.
We spoke earlier in the show about Buffalo with Gord and you end up with a fan base that loses interest quickly. Mm-hmm. I don't think that new ownership group now, led by Michael Andlauer, can afford now the next 30-plus games
over.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. There's advertising to sell. There's boxes to sell. There's reservations and restaurants to be made here. And if you lose that for a year, then you lose momentum going into next fall.
Well, these games are huge coming up because they have so many games at hand. They're just so far behind the rest of the league, so it looks like they're way, way, way out of it. They need to win their games in hand to show people that they're in the mix.
They need an Edmonton Oilers run.
They need something like that,
8, 9, 10 games in a row.
Yeah, they've lost 5 in a row at this point, but God, there's so many six games.
Don't have much time for next guest, but we got them.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Fuchs. Look at this guy.
Now, this guy is the king on the internet with Christmas pictures and, right?
Like, he's a festive gentleman.
You are. You love this time of year, do you not, Mike Fuda?
Oh, absolutely, but I don't have a hat. You guys look so festive.
I got to be honest with you. I thought for sure there'd be like a tree in the background and maybe like Rudolph.
Nick, I started off in this venture. I was supposed to shop in Oakville last night and it's meeting up a friend. I went to the Pump House in Oakville, had a couple beers. I was going to go to the Leaf game in Buffalo and I just couldn't get up for it. So I stopped at a hotel. I'm at a Fairfield Hotel in Oakville, so I'm going to end up watching the game here in Oakville. So it's been a very non-productive subject. Talk Sammy out of coming on and just being on the radio, but he said I had the FaceTime. So here we go.
Oh, we love seeing your pretty face.
How's Sammy doing? I mean, last week, what did he go? I was listening to you guys, and I love listening to you guys. But 8 days ago, you were tracking a flight with Ohtani.
Oh, my God.
Here we go.
We got a Columbus loss. Sammy goes to see his boys play in London, and they get pancaked 8-2. and he still finds a way to bring that smile to work. So I hope there's better things with the Leafs tonight, and And obviously, you enjoyed the 7-0 shellacking, as I think we all did.
Buttes. But you know better than anyone. Junior hockey is a little bit of an unpredictable beast. Took out the starting goalie. Great. I think it was a bit of a white flag, and it went that direction. They lost 8-2. Well, thanks for bringing it up.
I talked to Hunts because this is the time of year they lost their top guys, like Easton Cowan. They lost their top guys to the World Juniors, and then they went on a run. So it is. Junior hockey's crazy because they were in a bit of a rut, and then all their top guys went away, and they started laying the pounds on guys again.
Yeah,
there we go.
I want to ask Buttes about what Christmas in L.A. was like. You know, you guys are great teams. Oh. You're in the NHL. Tell me about Christmas in L.A.
Did you shop for the players?
I really appreciate it. Ray, I'm already struggling with my New Year's resolutions, and you've got me thinking about what it was like to walk out of my deck onto the beach as Santa Claus went by in his Sidoo. Yeah, it was okay. I enjoyed it. There's certain places, if I had ever thought my hockey life was going to end up and I was ever going to make it to the National Hockey League and spend 14 years in Los Angeles on Manhattan Beach, it was pretty special, I'll tell you. So. And the team's playing great. I had a buddy down. I guess they lost to Seattle the other night, but they've done a really good job turning all those assets around, and they're deep. They're really deep. Still not sure whether I would have let go of Gabe Vilardi so soon, but he's having a nice little stay there in Winnipeg so far.
I'm not talking about firing any coach here, but the last few changes and the ability for teams to kind of get going a little bit, and we'll see what Ottawa does tonight as early as game 2 for Jacques Martin against Colorado, I think. A tough one as well.
Oh, yeah.
But does that give now ownerships or president of hockey ops another thing to think about if in fact they want to jolt their lineup? And I look at Buffalo right now. It's like really underachieving here, Buttes. Like, is it easier today than it was even a few years ago to just make a coaching change?
I do think it's a little easier. And I mean, I've got a ton of time for Stevie Stais, and I think he's going to do a great job. I didn't like the timing of this one for DJ so close to the holiday. And in fairness, if I go back to the way this team's built, I still think it's flawed. Like, you see the teams that have made the jump, and obviously Tox do an incredible job in Vancouver, but they really need to improve upon their blue line. And when you look at their blue line now, I know Susie's hurt, but you know, what's the kid? They brought in a kid to play with, who's the right shot D that's playing with with Quinn Hughes? Like
this guy's fit in
like a glove, and then Susie, and then they bring in Zadorov, and they've really worked on their back end. And now you've got Demko Neb. When I look at what Ottawa added to their back end, and I know Shabbat's hurt, which that they really, the veteran presence they brought in to stabilize. And I love the Chychrun trade, but is Travis Harmonic, right? I mean, I don't like the fact that people saying, you know, the coach, it wasn't a coaching problem in Edmonton, it was a goaltending problem. And then they start to go on a bit of a roll. Their defense is still a problem, and their goaltending is still a problem. And Ottawa, I think they're getting a bit of a pass on. They spent a lot of money on Korpisalo and in Forsberg, and they have not been consistently good, and especially with a young blue line, the timely goals. So I think the goaltending really let DJ down as well. And I think Pierre didn't do a heck of a lot. You know, Dominic Kubalik, for me, only scores goals on teams that aren't winning.
Yeah.
Like, that was what he did in Czech Republic. I drafted this kid in the 7th round. And, I mean, he got sent back from the Kitchener Rangers. And then he comes back on Chicago when they weren't very good anymore and scores, like, 40 and almost wins the Rookie of the Year when he was, like, 28 or something like that.
Yeah.
That's when he won a bury head. And now they spend all this money on him and Tarasenko. And the money could have been spent on building up your blue line. And then having some veteran presence that are true leaders around that group, and to, you know, to help guys like Giroux out. And anyways, they're.
Can you hear that, Buttes? Maid service. It's maid service coming.
Fairfield.
We gotta go, pal. We gotta go.
Guys, have a great Christmas. Hey, one thing too, really quick. Great shout out to Elise for her statement early in the week. I know, Borny, you've been through a lot. And I love your book and stuff, but that was a real heartwarming statement, and lots of love and prayers for her over the holidays here.
Thanks, Buttes. We appreciate you. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Mike Fiuta, NHL executive with the LA Kings in their heyday of Stanley Cup champions.
I want to ask them what they gave the Kings for presents.
Okay, we're going to take Roll a quick lessons. Break, and we're going to continue our Christmas edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne show after these words.